Good morning, everybody. Hi, Mum. How are you? I can't talk right now, Mum. I'm sorry, I can't. I've got to go. I'm sorry, it's church on Sunday. Love you. Bye. Okay, I just got to put that on silence. Every now and then, Mum calls when you least expect it. Today, the topic is wisdom calls. It's amazing how these things line up, isn't it? Who would have thought? I'm going to begin with prayer, and then we'll continue. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise you because you are wise, and we need your wisdom. In a complicated world, we need your wisdom. Please help us all to listen to your call. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is the second in the series on Proverbs. Proverbs is all about wisdom. It's often referred to as wisdom literature. You might have heard of Ecclesiastes, Job, Song of Solomon. They're also wisdom literature. Proverbs is wisdom literature. It's gaining wisdom for the first time as a youth. That's why you read it, but it's also adding to the wisdom that you already have. So you've been Christian for many, many decades. You add to the wisdom you already have. And wisdom. Wisdom ultimately is about understanding who God is and living his way. And wisdom is in Proverbs is given person status. So I think people call it personified, but it's given person status. So sometimes it's like your mum is calling. Sometimes it's like your dad is calling. And both have been given equal authority to speak in Proverbs. In Proverbs, wisdom is different to knowledge. Last week I said they were similar, but if we want to get technical about it, they're slightly different. So knowledge is understanding something in your head. Wisdom is putting that understanding into action. Does that make sense? So I'll say it again, just in case you weren't listening. Knowledge is something. Knowledge is something that you understand in your head, or is understanding something in your head. Wisdom is putting that understanding into action. So you don't just talk the talk. You talk and you walk, talk and walk. Understanding, if that makes sense, yeah? Okay, let me illustrate this difference with a story. And I'm going to personify head knowledge. Okay, one day, immediately after lunch, head knowledge went on a swim with on a full stomach of lasagna. Now, because it was immediately after lunch, head knowledge cramped up and had to be rescued by Raymond. Yeah? Thanks, Raymond. Head knowledge should have known better. After all, he had head knowledge. That was his name. But weekend after weekend, the same took place. Now, eventually, head knowledge came to his senses. And instead of swimming immediately after lunch on a full stomach, head knowledge waited for an hour for the food to digest. Then he went for a swim and had a lovely time and did not need to be rescued. You could say that head knowledge acted wisely. And so again, knowledge is understanding something in your head. Wisdom, being wise, is putting that understanding into action. Action. So, wisdom today, in Proverbs chapter 1, calls for two actions. The first one from verses 8 to 19 is stay away from gangs. The second one, 20 to 33, is don't sit on the fence with God. Don't sit on the fence. So let's take a look at each in turn. So we'll start, obviously, with stay away from gangs. Now, today, when I talk about gangs, I'm not talking about the cute gangs. Like, recently, I saw a group of hairdressers describing themselves as the gang. Okay, I'm not talking about cute gangness. I'm talking about, you know, gangs in a bad sense, how it is normally used, okay, in a bad sense, okay? Stay away from gangs. Sometimes when we watch the news, it seems like Sydney streets are filled with gangs. Bikie gangs, youth gangs, some are worse than others. There are gang wars, gang logos, like the one on the screen, skulls, bones, gang logos. That's why recently the New South Wales Parliament introduced anti-gang legislation. That's the title they gave it, anti-gang legislation. It's necessary because there's many regions around the world that are racked with gangs. Parts of Mexico, Colombia, many other parts of the world are just have huge problems with gangs running that parts of the country. Close to home, there's been gangland shootings in Campsie, underground attacks in car parks nearby. Now, of course, there's nothing new under the sun. Gangs have always been trouble. There were trouble in the day of Proverbs, and they're trouble today. In fact, there's so much trouble that it can be tempting for youth, especially for young men, to join. I was reading an article this week. The article said, one of the reasons gangs exist is because young men delight in riches or access to riches, such as fast cars and nice accessories, but they lack money. So they form gangs to get more money. And this can lead to peddling drugs, and in some cases, violence. And so the Bible is relevant. The Bible is up to date. And so the Bible cries out. Wisdom calls. Conducts a Zoom meeting even, if I might say that. But wisdom calls. Stay away from gangs. Verses 8 to 19. To paraphrase that section, listen to your mum and dad. Remember, wisdom is given person status, such as your mum and dad calling. Listen to your mum and dad. Their wisdom is like jewelry, is better than jewelry around the neck. Wisdom calls, young men, I know riches are enticing. Fast cars, fast profits. Technology is enticing, but don't do it, son. Don't do it. If a gang says, come with us, wait for blood. We'll ambush them, even if they're innocent. Or if a gang says, like Sheol, swallow them whole. Let's swallow them whole. Don't do it. Now, Sheol in the Old Testament was like hell in the New Testament. Similar idea. Dark place. Place of death. A pit. It's where bad angels went after they were cast out of heaven into hell. It's where we get the term hell's angels. And so wisdom continues. Yeah, I know, young man. I know goods and plunder. I know you can receive these rewards, but it's not worth it. Gangs will say, you know you want it. Come share the spoils. But don't walk in their path. They're not your bros. They'll do anything to get ahead, even if it means treading all over you. Now, some of us here know or probably have known people in the past who've been involved in gangs. of sorts. Gangs are not always traditionally what we might think. Gangs might also be like well-respected gangs of thieves. So they dress well, they're probably a good part of the city, but they're still like a gang of thieves. Like, I remember reading a news report about a problem with rich teens who went to private schools, who would steal from the grocery store, steal from Woolworths, just for the fun of it, just for the challenge of not getting caught. That's like a gang of thieves. Well, what about those endless scams around the world? In the news, they're always talking about these scams. So many people get caught out. Thousands of Australians losing millions and millions of dollars. A gang of thieves. Probably a lot of them are well-dressed. They wear suits. They work together in gangs, like a gang of thieves. And so we look at this passage, we look at the potential violence, we look at the greed, and we say, is anyone here tempted to join a gang? Wisdom cries out, stay away from gangs. Stay away. And so let's read verse 17. Should have had that slide earlier up, but I didn't. But you can see in the middle there, verse 17, we read some little bit tricky words. I'm going to explain this verse to you because I think it can be really helpful. In the ESV version, we read, "For in vain is a net spread in the sight of a bird." What does this mean? In the sight of any bird. What does this mean? Well, basically it means how useless for the hunter to spread a net or to set a trap for a bird where every bird can see it being sent. The hunter's not going to do it. The hunter's going to do it in secret. So likewise, how useless for a gangster to set a trap to deceive new members where every potential new member of the gang can see it being set. No, they're going to do it in secret. But if anyone does choose to join a gang, in the end, the gangster only gets hurt. And the Proverbs goes on and talks about that. The gangster only gets hurt himself or his family or those dumb enough to join. See, Proverbs is not naive. Proverbs know that gangs will do well in the short term. There's plenty of examples around the world where they do well in the short term, but in the long run with God, they won't. Wisdom calls, in the long run with God, they won't. Their life, the possessors, will be taken from them. But the sad thing about gangs is they do it anyway, don't they? You can preach sermons like this, people can hear about how bad they are, but they'll do it anyway. And then Proverbs 1:19 said these words, "Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain." I thought there's some weight in those words, greedy for unjust gain. Gangs exist because greed does. The love of money is the root of all types of gangs. People say, and even people in this room might say, "Oh, I'd never join a gang, not me." You might if you become greedy enough. See, gangs do better managing greed than individuals do. Think of the big banks, well-respected big banks, and the Royal Commission in 2017 with all the corruption that was, or the scams that were taking place there. Or think of the tricks that auctioneers play at real estate. I saw on ABC Four Corners about all the tricks that the auctioneers play at real estate sales. It's like a gang of thieves. I'm sure that many of the people who first got into real estate never thought they'd go down that path. It's amazing what greed can do. Or the PwC tax evasion. I mean, the list is endless in Australia, and we're one of the better countries in the world. People form gangs because we're greedy. That's what happens. Greedy for unjust gain. So how do we know we're in danger of greed? Even in ordinary life or joining a gang, how do we know we're in danger? Well, whatever scheme we're cooking up, if we keep it a secret, we keep it a secret from our parents, we keep it a secret from our well-respected friends, we keep it a secret from church, we keep it a secret. Maybe there's something behind it that could get us into trouble. And so wisdom cries, wisdom calls out, stay away from gangs driven by greed. So let's return to head knowledge, okay? Head knowledge. Head knowledge grew up. Gave up swimming, but grew up. Did well at the HSC. Excelled at university, studying business. And head knowledge became an expert, very well dressed, in a suit, looked good. Head knowledge became an expert creating financial products. So good that one of the financial institutions took notice and signed him up. They called him one of the gang. That was their term they used, one of the gang. Over time, head knowledge developed a finance product that was so sweet, you couldn't lose. It was like being on the top of a pyramid scheme. You couldn't lose. None of the gang could lose. The group, the gang, they made so much money. They made so much money. Some of them were able to afford houses in Strathfield. That's how much money they made from this. You know, head knowledge should have known better. After all, he had head knowledge. This carried on for years, and eventually head knowledge came to his senses and became a whistleblower, but paid the price and went to jail. But he had to do the right thing. He had to do the wise thing. He had to do the heart thing and stop ripping people off. Later he confessed that the whole reason for his fraud was he and his work gang just got greedy. So wisdom calls, stay away from gangs. That's the first action. The second action is don't sit on the fence. Don't sit on the fence with God. Sitting on the fence is like refusing to take sides. It's like a basketball match. You're about to play, you're called to play a basketball match. There's two teams, and what do? You just sit in the middle, fold your arms and do nothing. Sitting on the fence is uncommitted, undecided. Sitting on the fence is also whatever makes you happy. As for me and my family, we're just going to sit on the fence. Sitting on the fence is big in Australia, especially when it comes to heaven and hell. People will say, I'm not against heaven or hell. I'm just going to sit on the fence. It's huge in Australia. But the Proverbs teaches that sitting on the fence with God is unwise. It's dangerous. There are consequences. God hates when people sit on the fence. He would rather people be hot or cold than be lukewarm. Be two minds, be undecided. I submit to you that God would rather an atheist in the room than an agnostic in the room. Because at least the atheist has made a decision, there is no God, and you can work with that. It's the indifference of the agnostic that is terrible and horrible, abhorrent to God. But one of the reasons we sit on the fence is because it feels safe. The fence feels broad, can't fall off it. You know, nice and wide, nice and safe. But wisdom calls that it is unsafe to be uncommitted, to be in two minds. It's like the fence posts one day are going to shoot up. The fence posts that keep the fence up are going to shoot up and pierce you through the heart and soul. It's dangerous. And so wisdom cries. And so I'm going to use other words, but just to summarise it, from 20 to 30 words. Wisdom cries out on the main street of Campsie, Anzac Mall, City Gates. I think that's Anzac Mall in Campsie. City Gates. How long, O simple? Now, verse 22. O simple is not you're stupid. O simple is don't be ignorant. Don't be a fool. Scoff is like someone who is laughing out loud from the fence. Like you're a fool and I'm not, but actually they're going to be the fool. But they laugh out loud from the fence. So wisdom cries out. And ultimately, if you know your Bible trajectory, wisdom ultimately becomes God's wisdom, Jesus, his word. So Proverbs, wisdom fulfilled, the final picture, it becomes Jesus and his word. And so that's why we see references to that end. We begin to see glimpses of references to that end. If you repent, I will pour my spirit out on you, verse 23. If you get off the fence and make a decision for me, I will fill you with my words, the Bible. And the Holy Spirit does that with us, those who believe. We get filled with the words of God, the Bible. And so wisdom continues. But I have called you, but you refuse to listen, sitting on the fence. I have stretched out my hands, but your hands have gone in your pockets. You've ignored my pleas. And this happens all the time around New South Wales, doesn't it? You know, people go to church weddings, church funerals, Christian weddings, Christian funerals. People go to church every now. People go to school scripture, grow up in school scripture. People occasionally visit with family for Christmas, Christian services at Christmas time and Easter. But they ignore it. They'd rather sit on the fence. They're happy for you, but it's not for them. They're not against it necessarily, but they're not for it. They'd rather just sit on the fence. Happens all the time. You've ignored my pleas, wisdom cries. Jesus, his word, cries. And verse 26, the problem is it's going to come a time when it's too late. 2020 hindsight's not going to work. It's going to be too late to make a decision when calamity comes and creation, which is redeemed, laughs at your calamity and your distress. It's going to be too late. You hated knowledge. You chose the fence over fear of the Lord. You chose your devices, your screens over God. And Proverbs says that you're going to eat the fruit of your demise. There's going to be consequences. The fence posts are going to shoot up and pierce your souls and hearts. You might prosper now, but later you're going to be destroyed by God. It's pretty serious, isn't it? Again, I think that the passion in Proverbs 1 about the problem with being uncommitted or sitting on the fence is because God hates that. And it's a real curse on Australia, isn't it? Because a lot of Australians will hear the Bible and just not care. It's a real problem. What do you do? I guess we can only pray, can't we? We can start by praying, God, please help me not to close, not to refuse to listen. Help me to listen to your word. And help my family and friends who are not against me being a believer, but really they're just sitting on the fence. Help them to believe, because God, I know how much you hate this. Thank you for Proverbs for pointing this out, because I can easily miss this, Lord. But there's always good news in the Bible, because we always go to hope. There's always Jesus. Verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Secure and safe for those who love the Lord. Secure and safe. Hope. So wisdom calls today two actions. The first action we saw was stay away from gangs, greed, and in some cases violence. It can happen. Second action is don't sit on the fence. Be careful not to remain uncommitted with God. You might be an unbeliever, make a decision for Jesus, or you might be a believer and you've become a little bit complacent or nominal or not caring so much. Don't do that. God doesn't like that. Get off the fence. Keep following Jesus. They're the two actions today from Proverbs chapter 1. And so we go, okay, that's not what we're not meant to do that. Okay, we want to end positive. What should we do? We don't want to do that, so what should we do? Well, we should turn and embrace wisdom. And who is wisdom in the Bible fulfilled? Who is wisdom in the Bible fulfilled? Can't hear you, sorry. Wisdom in the Bible fulfilled starts with J. Oh, good call. I know you all knew the answer, you're just a little bit shy. That's okay. Wisdom in the Bible fulfilled is all about Jesus. And so many examples are Luke 11. Jesus is called the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 1, Jesus is the wisdom and power of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, Jesus, he is the secret wisdom revealed. So in the Old Testament, they didn't quite understand who Jesus was. And we get to the New Testament, he is God's secret wisdom revealed. God's wisdom fulfilled. Proverbs, wisdom calls. Who is that wisdom? I know it sometimes looks like mum, sometimes dad, but ultimately it can't end there. It's got to end somewhere else. Ends with Jesus. He is God's wisdom fulfilled. And so ultimately when wisdom calls us in Proverbs, Jesus is calling us to faith in him. Everything we need to live life on earth, to be wise on earth, Jesus gives in his word with the Holy Spirit. If anyone lacks wisdom, Jesus gives. Gangs offer temporary riches, money, fast cars, but they're not really riches. Not going to last. Going to be destroyed. Jesus' eternal riches. Fences offer temporary safety in your community, but we know ultimately with God it's not really safe. The fence posts are going to shoot up. You know, I think often we think that we built the fence that we sit on. Actually, we didn't build the fence. The devil built the fence. He's just using it to trick us. Fences kill. And so the call for us, if you're not a believer in Christ Jesus, turn to Jesus, who died on a cross for your sins and rose for new life. And if you are a believer, be careful to become complacent and be distracted and even drift away by the desires that we all have for the things of this world. Be careful, because God does not like that at all. But God has saved us. And so he will, if you're a believer and you're drifting, he will often bring trouble in your life because he loves you and he wants you to know him and follow him and have you come back to him. And that's a gift and a blessing, even though it can be hard at the time. But fences offer temporary safety. They're not really safe. Jesus, permanent safety, permanent solutions. Gangs and fences kill. Jesus gives life to the full. And so we are called to step off the fence. We're not going to be perfect following Jesus, but we are called. If we're a little bit lackluster or complacent about going to church, about following Jesus, about reading the Bible, then we just got to step off the fence, pay attention to Jesus, get on his path, walk his way. So let's get back to head knowledge. So head knowledge, he eventually got out of jail for fraud. Now we would think jail, such a waste of time, but no. God used jail time to teach head knowledge. See, head knowledge, he grew up going to church. He had heard about Jesus. But Jesus, the word of God, was never on his heart. He just heard about it. It was head knowledge. But then through the time in jail, through that penalty, he became wise. God used it to change him, and he became wise. And he put his head knowledge into action and turned to Jesus and believed in Jesus. And Jesus became permanently planted on his heart. And then, of course, as a believer, he got baptized in November. Which reminds me, anybody a believer not being baptized? We're getting baptized November, like head knowledge. You got it in your head, it's time to be wise. Get baptized if you're a believer. Okay? Make sure that you do that. So, the good news is we never stop at the, never end on a don't, we always end on a do. And we are to turn and embrace Jesus. We are to give Jesus a spiritual hug. Embrace his word. Devoted, close to our hearts. We say no to gangs, no to drugs. Yes to Jesus. We step off the fence. We follow Jesus. We trust Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We put our hope in Jesus. And we give thanks to Jesus for the eternal life that is ours forever and ever. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing again.